Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. Or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning, and welcome to the Mother and Daughter Roundtables, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationship. I tell you, it's a good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Let's fill our energy up, get it up high, because today, as they say, is the day the Lord made, and regardless of what's going on, I don't care what you feel like, what it looks like, today is a good day. Today is an opportunity to serve the Lord. Every day you get up, stop having your pity party, take it, put it aside, throw it into the commode, flush it, whatever you need to do, and let's just rejoice today. Let's just rejoice. People are going through, and we are still here, and we have minor things that we think of magnified to look and feel as if it's just going to overtake us. But when you really look at and hear about things that people are going through, your problem, your situation is like a grain of sand on the shores of the beach. Very, very small. It's not the ocean. It's just a grain of sand. And I know everything is relative to everybody, but we got to know everybody's going to go down a path and they're going to be challenged. So you know different. We just don't know what our challenges are, but we will be challenged. That's it. It's how you go through it. That's what's going to make the difference. Good morning, Cynthia and Deborah. How you all doing?
Good morning.
I am fine. Thank you.
Good, good, good.
All
I tell you,
well.
We were just here day before yesterday. It is amazing. Deborah, would you do the prayer for us this morning?
Sure.
Please.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you to say thank you. Thank you for allowing the blood to circulate in our veins. Thank you for allowing our heartbeat for us to be able to inhale and exhale. We thank you, Lord. We thank you for the many blessings that you have bestowed upon us and what you're going to bestow on us. We thank you for everything, Lord. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive others who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Amen. Yeah, that is, forgive us our trespasses and as we forgive those who trespass against us. And, you know, that was a key point right in there. And that's where most of us never get hooked up at. You know what I mean? We have this thing that we don't want to forgive. Or we're saying we forgive, but I don't want to forget, which means I hadn't really forgiven. You know what I mean? Because some things you just got to say, Lord, I forgive, and then take it out of my mind. I don't want to even think about it no more. Holy Spirit, remove it. That's a key point right there. How was your week, Deborah?
My week was good. I had a short week because I had Monday off. So it was a four-day week, and I believe it was probably one of the better weeks. You know, pretty calm, wasn't no major incidents. You know, I always say to the audience, want them to know that I work at a very stressful job, but God gives me what I need to endure. Because the people we deal with have severe mental health and other diagnoses that might be unmedicated, put it that way. So you can imagine, this was a pretty good week. Praise the Lord.
Mm. And one thing about that audience, it seems like when it jump off and want to jump off is several people. It's like it's something in the air. People used to say, you know, full moon, things get crazy. But, you know, I know God knew when he put you there that you was a servant. You said, Lord, use me. And he knew you could handle it. You have the personality. You have the spirit. You have everything. You're the total package. And even though it may get stressful, he know you can handle it. And he's proud of you. I know you're doing a good job.
Amen.
Cynthia, how was your week? Cynthia?
Sorry about that. My week was challenging, but it was productive, and so all is well. Like anybody else, I have my challenges, and this was a week that I was challenged to stay in faith. So just recognizing, being aware of what it is helpful. So once you become aware of what is causing your distress, you deal with it and be done with it. And pretty much that was it. And so it was a productive week despite the challenge. We all haven't been diagnosed with some mental illness or disorder, but we still are challenged nevertheless. And so, and you don't want to get caught up in labels anyway. So it's a good thing. And so we are given labels for one reason and one reason only, as far as a diagnosis, and that is to be treated. But even that's a slippery slope of really moving into being even more challenges. So you have to be careful with allowing people to give you diagnoses and whatnot, because you become the diagnosis if you're not careful. We are in the field of psychology, so we know these things. And because I know these things, I'm better able to be aware of when I'm being challenged in my thought processes. And so I deal with it, and then I'm done with it. So all is well.
Mm-hmm.
And how was your week?
Well, before I get to my week, I just want to make a comment on what you just said. As a Christian clinical psychologist myself, I know when you're saying diagnosis, you know, it can label you, yes. But we all have a symptom that could be diagnosed if we were in a treatment program. And sometimes we just have a little bit more wisdom. That's why God put people around us with wisdom to help you walk through it and realize who you're being, and hopefully help you walk out of that. Because we all have, and I used to look back, and sometimes people look down on someone and says, well, you know, I'm not like this person, I'm not like that person. And as I was listening to the book of Luke this morning, and this one guy said, you know, Jesus, you know, he said, Master, you know, I am just thankful that I'm not like those people. You know, I'm not this and I'm not that, you know. And I can imagine Jesus looking at him like, really? But look at you. So we all are having some, we all have some cases, similar cases, no matter what level we're on with it. Sometimes people just get so deep with it that they can't figure out how to get out. And thank God when you do have knowledge that you can work on it, but it's still depression. It's still, you know, the pity party. It's still the doubt. It's still woe po on me. It's still, you know, well, Lord, when you coming? It's still everything but what God told us to do. Do not fear. Don't faint. Have faith. Believe. I'm with you. I'm not going to leave you. And get into that rest and that peace. So we all are diagnosed with the symptom of unrest and fighting to believe.
That's amazing. Absolutely. And if you had to have a diagnosis, that's exactly what it is: unrest, anxiety. Unrest. God tells us to be anxious for nothing. So. Mm-hmm. You know, it's all about that unrest in that mind. The battlefield of the mind is where it all is. And so we can all, like you said, be diagnosed with a diagnosis. But you know what? When we know better, we do better. And then even when you know better, you still have those moments where you are tempted to be in unrest. So we just thank God that the Holy Spirit delivers us. And for those who don't know him, it's even more difficult to find that rest that they're looking for. And that's what everybody's looking for. They're looking for that peace. They're looking for that rest. And that mind just never shuts down. And so that's where the trouble lies. And so we just thank God that we are delivered out of it, because we can all be headed down that path of self-destruction, because a lot of times it leads to self-destruction because we turn to everything but God. And unfortunately, that's just the nature of the beast. And that's how the enemy controls us, because we run to everything but God. And and he's the only one that can give us peace. Thanks for letting me share.
Yeah, my week last week was a good week, very good week. I thank God for it. A lot of lessons learned, a lot of things shared. It was just very productive and organized. And I just thank God for I released myself to the Holy Spirit and said, you know, I don't know how to do this. And at first, I've been saying this for a while, but you get to the point where you just really just say, okay, I don't know how to do this. I think I'm hearing you. Am I missing you? But, you know, just do it. Holy Spirit, I put you first. And out of that came that peace. He says, do this. Now do this. Now do this. Now do this. And I had no stress or anxiety or anything about, am I hearing you right? Am I missing you? Just do this. And the one thing, audience, that I got out of everything in this message for the last few weeks was, he said, remember Noah and the ark. It took him over 100, almost 100 some years to build the ark. Can you imagine people even living that long to remember, to laugh, to talk about it, to say, what is he doing? Is he still doing it? You know, he was 300 years old. And I'm like, wow, people were still living when he started it. They lived over 100 some years. People were still there that remember when he started it. And if not, if they died off, they had the children that came up and they told the children and kept the laughter on and kept the, you know, the talk, because, you know, this old man got to be crazy. And God just reminded me, this says, you know, this is not yours to finish when you get ready to finish. You're going to follow the way I said. And if you do it the way I said, it's going to be finished when I say it's finished. And I thought, okay, because that has been my biggest thing. The whole time was thinking about what other people think. You know, it's like, oh God, they gonna think, well, what's taking us so long? Well, why we ain't here and why we ain't there and what's going on? Simple thing he said to me, are you serving me? Are you serving them? God, I serve you. Okay then. It's not matter what they think, it's what I think. And that brought the most peace. And then he sent me somebody to help because I said, I need help. He sent me somebody to help. Wisdom, knowledge, does things quick. I mean, it ain't like the next day I can ask her to do something. I get it before the day is over. Boom, finished, bam. I said, God, thank you. So that in itself, we need help. And what I'm talking about, audience, is the Matriarch Now community. You can go there, matriarchnow.com. Go to the community, look at it, visit around, join us. It is open now that anybody can go through, look around. And if you say, you know, I think I want to be a member, then join. We'd love to have you. And if it's not for you, we understand. Share it with somebody else. And we have the Mother and Daughter Television Network, which is the a network that we are putting together to the point where there's a lot of things in the background that needs to be put in place. And it wasn't as easy as I thought. It's not about videos. It's not about shows. It's about the background and organizing and setting it up for growth. So we are in a building capacity now to set up the foundation the way God wanted set up, because if the foundation is not good, then he can't bless us because it won't hold the blessing. It will crumble. So that's where we are, and I thank God for this week. It just enlightened me, and today I'll be working with a young lady. We're putting together a major piece that can help with funding. So it's just one step, one step, one step, one step, and I can only imagine, you know, the blueprint and the organizational chart that God gave Noah. Everything is built around an organizational chart. You got to know where you're going to put it, where it's coming from, who's doing what, when and how, and that's the what, when and how and where and all that kind of stuff. Those are the essence of anything that you do. You got to know those things. Those questions have to be answered. So with that, that made my week a lot easier. And I look forward to working today when I get off the radio to complete this piece. And it's going to take us to another level. So I am excited. I am excited about that. So ladies, again, we're here on Saturday morning. Audience, our topic today, mothers and daughters. It is in the waiting. It is in the waiting. Deborah and Cynthia, I'll be back. Let the Holy Spirit speak, and I'll come back and see what he says through you.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Audience, mother and daughters, mothers and daughters, it is in the waiting. You know, I have to say this because it's just like I have to give credit to the Holy Spirit. I mean, I have to, you know, and I just thank God for Jesus, because Jesus gave his life, and in giving his life, he turned and asked the Father, Father, can you give them what you gave me? Because he knew he was nothing without the Holy Spirit. It wasn't until he was baptized by his cousin John that God sent him the Holy Spirit. So from the time he was born, or conceived, I would go back, when Mary, when the Holy Spirit Mary conceived Jesus through the Holy Spirit. And people say, oh, miraculous birth. Yeah, Think about it. The Holy Spirit was his father, the father of Jesus. And Mary had to go through a waiting period. She didn't know. She didn't know what was going on. All she knew was the angel came and said, God had chosen her to birth the Messiah. Only thing she was thinking was, I've been waiting on my husband. I know no man. The angel says, but you were being impregnated by the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit is the Father of Jesus Christ, if you look at it from that perspective. And then she was in waiting. She was waiting on something. She was waiting because she says, what are they going to think? They will stone me. I am pregnant out of wedlock. How will I explain this to my parents, my friends, my cousins, the people in my tribe? How will I explain to them that I'm pregnant? Because you know people are nosy. This is not a new fad just for the day, you know. Nosiness just was born. They were nosy back then. All in your business too. But the thing was, they would stone you too. So she's waiting with fear. And then God called Joseph and said, I need you to take her as a wife, to cover her. So we was waiting on Jesus to be born. She was trusting what the angel said. Even had to explain to Joseph what happened. So our topic today, mothers and daughters, it is in the waiting. That's the hardest thing for us to do, is to wait. Because there's the period of birth, there's the dash, and then there's the death. You got the date of the birth, the dash, and then the date of the death. Everything happens in your life between the second you were born and the second you die. The first breath you take and the last breath that leaves you. Everything is in between that. That's the waiting. And as you travel from one moment to the next, you are moving towards something. And even when your body is moving on this treadmill of life, there are certain things that you desire as a human being that's not happening as quickly as you want it to happen. Or you're looking over at the Joneses and wondering, why is it happening for them? Why is it happening for them? It looks as if they just, everything they touch is turning to gold. It looks as if, you know, you turn around, they got a new car. They got a van. They go on vacation. The kids are in the best school. They wear the finest clothes, got the best jobs. They just look so happy. What about me, Lord? What about me? I'm waiting. I'm sitting here. I have my bags packed. My suitcase is ready. And I'm sitting at the door, waiting on you to open the door of opportunity. Why not me? Well, you know, you can look at this thing from several different perspectives. One, questioning God is doubting God. You don't question things that you have a concern about, or you have a doubt about. So if you ever question God about anything, just know you're telling God, I'm not sure if you're going to do that or not. I'm not sure what you said is the truth. So, but I just want to know why. It says now I can ask. But see, people take that thing out of context and they just go on and do what they want to do with it. God said you can ask for anything. Yeah. But you're not going to get anything. You're going to get what he said. You're going to get the promises that he's made. Everything is already done before you even hit the earth. So he ain't changing nothing for you. So your best bet is to find out what he said. What is his promises? Ask for what he's already told you could have. He can't say no to what he's already said. But don't question God. Who are you as a child to question your parents? And that's what's really wrong with our children today. They think they can equal up to the parents. They think they can ask the parents or tell the parents what to do. And because now they say, oh, you can't punish the child or you can't spank the child. They say, oh, you can't touch me physically. So I don't mind going in the room. I don't mind you taking the game or my phone. I don't mind you doing that because I got my mind. I can lay up in there and do all kinds of stuff. But you can't really spank me. So I'm going to challenge you. So the waiting is the hardest thing. And once Satan finds out that you are impatient, he will take you for a ride. He'll have you up the mountains, down the mountains, on the side of the mountain. He'll even take you underground railroad. Because he knows now you have questioned God and God is really not paying you any attention. And I know that might sound hard, but that's the truth. He said, I'm not looking at you. Only faith moves me. It's disrespectful for you to question me. I am God. You think I'm going to look at you, Bessie, and say, oh, well, yeah, well, Bessie's got a concern about what I'm doing and how I'm doing it. So let me see. Jesus, you think we ought to just go ahead and explain to Bessie, what's going on? Come on. Come on. He's not going to do that. He's not going to do it. That's why he gave you the Old Testament. He gave you the Old Testament to let you know, this is who I was. This is who I am. And this is who I will be. So if he swallowed them up in the past, he'll swallow them up today, and he'll swallow them up tomorrow. And you might say, well, Dr. Bessie, I have a problem with that because that's why we have Jesus. Because Jesus covered us from all that. But then you're saying what? Then God has lied. He said, I'm the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. So now you got to pick your choice. You got a choice. You got to choose. You know, either God's lying. He never said, Jesus, I haven't seen it in the Bible. Somebody know, correct me. I didn't see nowhere in the Bible where he says, now that I sent Jesus, I'm going to change and I'm not going to be the same God yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He said, I am the Alpha and Omega. I am the beginning. I am the end. And I'm everything in between. I am God. So a lot of things that we see now look very familiar to the things that happened in the Old Testament. And this was something that came to my attention this week. You got the ground opening up, which are earthquakes swallowing up. Doesn't that sound like, they didn't call it earthquakes then, but doesn't it sound like the same thing? Doesn't it see the floods and the fires and the wars and the mumbling, the grumbling, it sounds just like what he said. Look, I'm showing you. And we are unruly people. Everybody's getting tired in the waiting. They're tired of waiting. They want it now. If I can't get what I want, I'll take my gun and go out and I'll rob somebody. I want it now. I want the cash now. I want the car now. So I hijack somebody. I want that bracelet, diamond bracelet, like my neighbor. I'll just take hers. I don't know when money's going to come my way, and I want it now. She'll never know it. I won't wear it when I'm around her. All she knows is the bracelet is gone because I want it now. The microwave, I want it now. I got to do it quick. You see, you cook food, and you can smell the flavor of the food in the aroma in the house. You can smell it outside. People walking on the streets, oh, wow. I don't know what y'all cooking, but it sure enough smells good. Now, it's sticking in the microwave, zip, zap, zap. You don't smell nothing. Eating fast, dried up food has no nourishment to it, and everybody want to stick it in the microwave when you have an oven. Because we want it now. We want it fast. We don't want to wait. But see, patience is a key element for God. Humbleness. You can't be humble and impatient. The two is not going to work well together. But if you're patient and you're humble, now you're showing, I have faith in you, God. I believe you're going to do what you say you're going to do. I don't know the time that you're going to do it, the hour or the second or the minute, the day, the week or the year. I don't know. But I know what you said. And I know you cannot lie. So all I got to do now is wait. And one day you're walking along. Waiting has just become a part of you. I don't have to worry about it. I know God's got it. And I'm telling you that because I am a witness of that. Right now, I'm just waiting because I know he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And then you have to ask yourself, why would God want me to wait? Why would he want you to wait? And that was a question for me. Because I need you to be ready for what I have before you. If I gave you what you asked me for right now, Bessie, I would cause you more harm than good. I would lose your soul, help you lose your soul. Because I gave you more than you could handle, more than you were prepared to deal with. So when you're in your crying and when you're in your, oh, poor, pitiful me thing, ask yourself, are you ready for what you think you're asking God for? Well, I got the answer for you. No, you're not ready. Because if you was ready, you wouldn't be crying and rolling on the floor and acting like a child having a tantrum. Children only can get children things. God want to grow you up. He's trying to say, I got everything that you asked me for, but you're not ready for it. You're not ready for it. If I gave you this, I will lose you. And I love you too much to give it to you. Because Satan is waiting. He knows the minute you get it, he's going to get you on a ride. And you think, oh, wow. See, you start off very spiritual. You start off being the good Christian. Oh, God, if you do this, I'm going to do that. And God, if you just allow us this, I'm going to do that. Oh, God, and then God give it to you. And then all of a sudden, you ride off in the sunset with Satan and forget all about God. He said you start off in your spirit and you end up in your flesh. And that's what happened to so many people. So I am not willing to lose you. You talking to me every day. You spending time with me every day. I'm not willing to gamble that because you're not ready for the next level yet. You haven't learned how to operate in your faith. You haven't learned how to find your peace. Because where I'm sending you, you got to have faith. You got to know how to rest. You got to know how to be humble, when to talk and not to talk. You got to know how to distribute love. Everybody thinks, oh, I give out love. Really? How are you giving out love to humans when you're not giving out love to God? When you're crying and screaming and hollering at him like you're crazy, you know, you're giving out love. Why would you give love to everybody else? Don't give God no love. Come on now, let's get real with this thing. Why would you do that? You're going to love your neighbor. You're going to love people laughing and grinning. As he said, I was listening to one of the sermons. He says, yo, you walk with your neighbors. You'll walk with your friends, but you're not walking with God. How you do that? Your creator. Because see, the enemy will tell you, oh, he's not coming. He's not going to do that. Why would he let you go through this? When he see that you suffering. See, you got that intra conversation going on. That intra conversation that keeps, you know, that conversation that goes on in your head, that's keep going on and on and on and on. See, that's where the enemy works. He comes in there. He's not inside your head. Especially you're a child of God. You are not of his. He can't touch you. He can project. He can project his voice in such a way that you will think that you are talking and saying these things to yourself. How many times have I had clients that would say to me, oh, no, that's, you know, no, it's not about Satan, it's this and that. That's what he wants you to think. He says Satan will deceive you. He'll make you think, oh, people talk about me. He wants you to believe that he doesn't exist. And if he can get you to believe he doesn't exist, he exists every day. He's walking. He's got somebody trying to take you down if you're a child of God. He did it for Jesus, and what make you think he won't do it for you? Don't ever say Satan ain't trying to take you down, because then you're saying God is a liar. He comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes to stop you from doing the work of the Lord. So any conversations you have that is not good and of good report is Satan. He even told Jesus, well, if you're the Son of God, why don't you take the stone and turn it into bread? You know, if you're the Son of God, you know, trying to challenge. And I can imagine Jesus probably looked down at him like, really? But he said what? It is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So now you're a child of God. You can use the same thing when Satan comes in. No, it is written, by his stripes I am healed. That's why he says, study, make thyself worthy. So you got to know that's your weapon. He tried to tempt Jesus with riches. Oh, if you do this, I'll give you all of these kingdoms. Now, how you going to give me what's already mine? But see, that's how he trick us, because you already got the promise. You already got the blessing. But he tells you what? You don't have it. But if you listen to me, if you serve me, then this is what I'll give you. He gonna give you back what you already got. He can't even give you that because he don't own it. I'll give it to you quicker. Oh, God is not for you. Because if God really loved you, he said now, what earthly man would give his child a stone when the child asked for bread? What more will I do for you? That's what he said. But you just asking and asking. asking and you're crying and you're begging, and he's not paying you no attention. And that's right, because he's doing exactly what he said. If you waver, you get nothing from me. 1 minute you're in faith, the next minute you're in doubt, you're going back and forth. He said, if you're lukewarm, I spew you out of my mouth. You either got to be hot or you're going to be cold. But this playing this game with me back and forth, like you love me 1 minute, oh God, yes, I, Lord, and then you get revelation when you read, oh Lord, I love you, and God is good, and the next minute you're crying and acting a fool because you don't have no money. I may call something didn't go your way. Little kid having a tantrum. You got to be happy in the waiting. You got to be at peace in the waiting. You got to trust him in the waiting, because that's the test. You got to pass that test. And when I say test, everybody, their faith is being tested. If Jesus' faith was being tested, then you better believe your faith being tested. Come on now. The Son of God, his only beloved Son, whom he loved and whom he say, listen to him. All we got to do is listen to him. And he told us, Satan tried to take him out. I mean, Satan didn't take his life. Nobody killed him on the cross. What did he do? He said, as he talked to the Father, he said, okay, Father. He had to go through. He had to wait. He had to wait for 30 before he could start his ministry. And that's what God told me. Bessie, have you been doing this 30 years? Well, what make you think if Jesus had to wait 30 years that you can't wait 30 years? That was an eye-opening for me. I was like, wow. How can I expect for him to do? Now, I'm not saying people don't get blessed before 30 years, but we don't know how they get blessed. Sometimes people can't wait, and they hook up with some people. And they get hooked into money connections. They out there. People willing to sponsor you. Oh, they give you all the money, put you on TV, make you look like you're bigger than life, but they own your soul. They own you. Or you can wait on God and let him do it. Let him give you the blessing. But you're only going to get the blessing when he knows that you can handle the blessings. He's not going to give you more than you can handle. And people use that all the time. They use it from a different perspective. Oh, well, don't worry about it. God ain't going to put no more on you than you can handle. God ain't going to put no more on you can handle. But they're talking about worry or this, that, and the other. But he's actually talking about, I'm not going to give you $10 million because you can't even manage a few thousand dollars. I've given you a few thousand dollars. Go back and look how you spent it. Go back and look what you did with that few thousand dollars that I put in your hand. You went through it like a whirlwind. Just phew. Now I give you 10 million. Can I trust you to do? Because I'm not giving you 10 million just for you. I'm giving you 10 million because I need you to do the work. I need you to help the people that I tell you to help. He said, oh yeah, Lord, if you give me the 10 million, you can trust me. No, I can't. Because I tried you with a few thousand. You're not even ready for $10 million. Because the enemy knows you're not ready. And he will talk that money out of your hands. Just like he talked those thousands out of your hands. So when your mothers and daughters, when you're looking back over your life, you'll see where you was not a good steward. You wasn't a good steward with your health. You wasn't a good steward with your money. You wasn't a good steward with friends and family. You wasn't a good steward at the church. You wasn't a good steward in your community. You wasn't a good steward on your job. You can find, I'm not saying that you wasn't, I'm saying you can look in those areas, any of those areas, and some I didn't name, where you was not a good steward. You were given an assignment. When we meet people, think about it. Why did God put this person in my life? It's an assignment. And being a good steward means what? We watch over it. We help. He said, well, Dr. Bessie, I help this one and I help that one. Yeah, we all do. We help people we like. And sometimes we help people we don't even know. But I ain't going to get you no brownie points. You're just doing what you're supposed to do. We're supposed to be Christians. We're supposed to help. We're supposed to ask, who do you want me to help today, God? This is not your day to own. This is your day to serve the kingdom. What assignment you have for me today? If you own somebody's job, they tell you exactly what you're going to do, and that's exactly what you do because you want to keep that job. But we work for God, and we're just going to do whatever we want to do when we wake up in the day. We ain't going to ask God, God, what do you want me to do today? What assignments do you have for me today? But we will ask man because we value man, because man give us a paycheck. Oh, I got to keep a job because if I don't, I can't pay my rent, can't get nothing to eat, da 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 da. And he already said, I got you. Don't worry about where you're going to sleep, what you're going to wear, what you're going to eat. If I take care of the birds and the lily of the field, he already done told you that, but you don't believe him. You got doubt. Well, God, yeah, but this paycheck coming every Friday, okay? I can cancel out the whole building and you'll have nothing, or you can trust me. I'm not telling you something I'm thinking. I'm telling you something I know. I'm telling you something that I've been through. And when I got to that point, God said, are you going to trust me? And this was 2000, and I said yes. Because I went from having $1 million budget when all the real estates and everything went crazy. A lot of my real estate was tied up because I listened and was influenced by others. Didn't follow what God told me to do, buying too much real estate. So when I said I would, I haven't had a paycheck since 2008. I don't worry about a paycheck. I have been trusting him. I have a nice place to stay. He buys the cars he pays for. He buy the clothes. No, it's not like I used to. I remember one time I had an American Express card. I traveled, went everywhere. You know, it wasn't nothing. Charge, pay, da, da, da. Living the life, I thought, of Raleigh. Just at the spa half a day, just doing what I wanted to do. I said, okay, let me show you how this is going to work. I'm going to take all of that away from you. Because see what? You're not handling it right. So the lesson begun. And he gradually started putting things back into my hand as I learned my lessons. And I'm still in the wait. But the one good thing about it, when you are waiting and you are at peace and you believe God, he'll reveal it to you. He has revealed to me what's ahead of me. And when you get to the point where he can show you where it is, it's like Martin Luther King says, I've been to the mountaintop, but I've seen on the other side. So he saw his death. He saw where the end was going to be. Moses saw. You can see if you just relax, put him first, trust him, he'll show you things, and that will bring about a peace that will surpass all understanding. All right, Deborah.
Wow. I'll tell you. Awesome. I just love it. I just love it. Okay, here we go. Waiting for what? Waiting for what? While we're waiting on the blessings that we so faithfully pray to God for, pray for provision, pray for healing, pray for favor, and other things, God is saying in Matthew 6:33, he said, but first, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you. But God is saying, I know what you need. Before you even ask me, I know what you need. I'm God. Nobody have to tell me that my kids are hungry or my kids in need of economic support or physical or mental or whatever support that they need. I'm God. I already know that. He said, so I have given you some talents. Each and every one of you got talents that I want you to exercise and I want you to use until I return. But while you're waiting, I got you. I know what you need. But seek the kingdom first. Be heavenly minded. Think about, is this right? Meaning, should I lie on my taxes to get an extra couple thousand? Come on, somebody. Should I be coveting my neighbor's wife, my neighbor's husband? Should I be envious and jealous and backbiting of the other people that got a few more shirts and dresses or a car in the drive yard? Should I? God says, I know what you need. He says in Matthew 25:14-15 that he has given us some talent. He talked about the bag of gold. And it's a parable. What he's saying is, I might not bless you with what I give the pastor or the teacher or the doctor, but you got some gifts. According to your ability to use it, that's how I gave it to you. So some might have five, some might have two. He might have just gave me one. He said, but take what you got and work it while you waiting. I know what you need. I'm God. Seek first my kingdom. Be about my work. I'm going to make sure you don't starve to death. I'm going to make sure there's food in the house. I'm going to make sure there's favor on the job. I'm going to make sure there's peace. Make sure there's peace in your heart, peace in your home. He said, but seek ye first my kingdom of God and the righteousness, and his righteousness. What's right? Being able to say I'm sorry when I've offended somebody, because he's talking about that in the prayer. So I'm going to forgive you as, keyword, means likewise, mean how I do you, I'm going to be done by God. If I don't forgive you, ain't no need to go into God's saying, fix it, Lord. Oh, they hurt me. Fix it, Lord, but you don't cause all kind of. God's saying, hey, seek ye first the kingdom and the righteousness, and all these things should be given to you as well. So other words, I gave you a gift. I gave you some gifts to work, to invest for the kingdom until I return. And I need you to assume your position, to get on your post, and to do the job that you've been hired to do when you said you believe and you confess with your mouth that Jesus was Lord. You became one of my sheep. I need you to do what sheep do. I need you to live among the wolves and continue to be a sheep, meaning when everybody hating on you, when everybody big balling and shot calling, I need you to continue to be a sheep. I need you to continue to be different, to be a peculiar person, to not blend in with the world because they get their riches from doing illegal and ungodly and things against other people. But I need you to be a testimony. Why you waiting on me to bless you, to give you what you need? I got you. Can you just trust me and believe that whatever you need, I got you. But while I'm setting you up, I need you to work while you wait.
Amen. Amen. The Lord. Praise the Lord. That's good. That's good. Yep. He's setting us up. But we can't wait. Just like, you know, you can you imagine, devil, you lose a lot, not don't receive a lot of your blessing because he's like, I had it for you. You didn't come. You didn't believe. And someone, there was a story one time where the person went to heaven and found out there was a whole bunch of stuff waiting on them. He's like, well, what's this? I had it for you. You asked for it, and I got it, and you never did. You didn't believe I would send it, so I didn't send it. Something similar to that. But let me get to Cynthia. Cynthia, thank you, Deborah. That was good.
All right. To sum this thing up, Dr. Fletcher, you said a lot. Deborah, you brought it home. And so I'm just going to just wrap this thing up because there is a couple of scriptures that support everything that you and Dr. Fletcher has said. James 1:4 is one of them. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That's James 1:4. And so what happens when we are in waiting, as Dr. Fletcher so pointedly said, we do start to wonder, we do start to waver, and we do start to faint, because it is in the waiting that all of these things happen. Even Mary, like Dr. Fletcher said, had to wait for the birth of Jesus. But in the meantime, she went through, because I can only imagine questioning, and she even questioned God. She said, well, how can I conceive a child, and I haven't even been with the man? So she's questioning him. And then I think about Job. Job was questioning his situation, and God came, and he's talking to him all the way up to Job 42, and that's when he repents of all of his wondering and wavering and starting to faint. Even though he didn't faint, he went through all of these things. All of these things are associated with the nature of man. And so you don't have to feel bad about these things. You just have to go to God and ask for forgiveness when you allow yourself to wonder and waver and you're starting to faint. Because God says that we will receive what he, and Dr. Fletcher said this also. It's all about perspective. Because if God didn't promise you these things, we can ask for anything. But if it's not part of, because we do run, Dr. Fletcher, as you stated, with what we come to believe that God will give us. But is it in his plan for our lives? And so we do start to wonder and waver and faint and all of these things. Psalms 34:6 says this, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. God will deliver us in these moments of wondering and where we're wavering, if you will. That's where the faith comes in, guys. We have to be willing to stand on our faith. And I had a dream in New Orleans a couple of weeks ago where it was me and my girl, my bestie, my cousin, and I couldn't see the third person. So I really do think this was God that was the third person in this dream. And we were talking about how on the outside people were looking at us and how we look at ourselves. And my cousin is well established. But God has allowed her to lose both of her sons. So it takes a lot of faith to move beyond disappointment of what God allows to happen in this thing called life. And she can totally walk away from God because of what he has allowed. But I see her rising more and more every day in her faith to reach beyond that disappointment and pain of losing her children. So we see that it causes for a lot of faith when life happens in the wait. And God tells us not to be double-minded in James 1:6-8. You're either going to trust me with your life or you're not. And whatever I allow in the interim, whatever people are saying about you, as Dr. Fletcher said, people are going to talk. It's just human nature. But are you going to trust God beyond the people who are talking? Are you going to do what I need you to do in your wait? Deborah said it so pointedly. In the wait, God has given us some talents and some gifts. So are you using those things in the interim while we're waiting on God to give us what we're asking him for? Because it may or may not happen because it's based on his will for our lives. And I had this conversation this week with my husband because it is so true in my struggles. This was one of the questions that I had. So when we're tempted to faint, Galatians 6:9 says, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. If we do not give up. Mary had to wait the 9 months to give birth to Christ. Could she have given up on the pregnancy? I don't know how that looked if she had given up on the pregnancy, because Jesus was coming anyway. But you can only imagine what she went through in the wait. Rejection. Self-pity. Well, I'm not married. People looking at me crazy. And then God took care of it. God went to Joseph. The angel came to Joseph and talked to Joseph himself and let him know. No, she hasn't been unfaithful. She hasn't been unfaithful. And so God sent the angel to confirm that he is to take her as his wife. And then 1 Corinthians 15:5-8 says this. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, when you've done all that you could do, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Mary had to give herself fully to the work of the Lord because Amen. You know that your labor, she had to go through labor, and the Lord is not in vain. She went through labor to give birth to Jesus in the unlikely place. Now, this is the king's child, the king of all kings, were born in the stable. So what makes us any different that we have to go through in our wait? And this is the beautiful thing about studying God's word, because you come to revelations that can give you the hope to stand firm in all your waiting, because we're not waiting on God. We are to be waiting in God. And when we wait in him, like Mary waited in him, oh, it's going to be something beautiful at the end. So we can stand firm and not be moved by that battle in the mind, because that's where the battle is, because that's where the enemy comes and he's talking to you and you're getting all this. But see, I don't give him that kind of credit. I know that was my flesh this week. Well, pull me, as Dr. Fletcher talked about. And that's where she came from with this message, the woe pull me perspective. And that's where I was this week. I identified well, because that's where I was this week. I allowed my poor me to get in the way. I did. But I repented and I moved on. And all you got to do, mothers and daughters, is repent, be determined to stand on the word of the Lord, because you hear from God. Dr. Fletcher said something to me on yesterday. You're either going to believe it or you're not. But see, God gives us different pieces. So what he's told her, he haven't told me. So I have to make a decision if I'm going to believe what she has said to me according to the word of the Lord. And if it's not true, it's not her truth. Because if she said he said it, I'm going to have to make a decision. I'm going to either believe it or I'm not. And there's going to be moments where I'm tempted to faint. There's going to be moments where I'm tempted to waver. Even Jesus was tempted, but he didn't fall for the trick of the enemy. And I'm determined not to fall for the trick. And even though I allow myself to go there, God knows you have emotion. God knows that we go through these emotional roller coasters, but he will deliver you. He tells us in his word that he will deliver us, and he deliver us every time out of our troubles. The poor man, as I said, Psalms 34:6, the poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his trouble. Even during this conversation with Job, God delivered him out of it, and he got double the blessing.
All right.
Because he repented and he returned unto the Lord. Thank you for letting me share.
Wow. Yeah, that brought it home. Wow. All righty then. Audience out there, mothers and daughters, you heard But the Lord said to me, through me and through Deborah and through Cynthia, we all sharing that we too are in the waiting. Everybody's in the waiting. It's just how are you waiting? That's the trick right there. How are you waiting? I'll be right back.
You've been listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
All right, ladies, thank you so very much. We just praise God. God, we put you first, and we bless Amen. And ask him to be in front of everybody this week, that all will come to know Jesus Christ, will accept him as their Lord and Savior, and most importantly, know that God has got them, and anything that they're crying out for, he's got, he will take care of them. He will take care of them. Thank you, ladies.
Amen.
As always.
Amen. You're welcome.
All right. Bye, audience.
Bye.
Have a good week.
Bye, audience. Love you, ladies. Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.